The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thanks so much for joining us for our online service. We have been under COVID-19 restrictions for quite a period of time. And the update for this week is that there really isn't much of an update as far as changes in how things are going on. The most significant change is actually happening today as we are opening the doors for our regular service here at Calendar Bay Church. And so that is probably the big change is that now you have the option of attending here in our online service, or you can actually come to the physical building. Now, there are some restrictions that are on right now, and so there's some important things that we have to do. One is that you have to pre-register, because we can have to cap our attendance at 30% capacity, which in our building is between 45 and 50 people. And so you have to pre-register your attendance. And so if you can do that by going to calendarbaychurch.ca, our webpage, and just there's a very simple form that you can fill out there, ask you some pertinent questions about your health, and you can register there. And then we have a running total so that we're ready for Sunday. Now, the other way you can do that is if maybe you're not as tech savvy and you don't want to do that, you can just call here at the church and we'll make sure that that takes place. But it's important to pre-register. Masks are also required if you attend the regular service. But if you feel that you just don't want to do that, the online service is going to be continued to offer so you can be a part of that. There's also other ministries that are taking place. One is our prayer meeting, which takes place on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. Again, you have to pre-register for that. And so you can just do that by either emailing me or phoning the church, which is 705-752-1649. And so that is every Monday night here at the church at 7 o'clock. And we'd love to have you be a part of our prayer service. Thank you so much for your faithful giving here at Calendar Bay Church. We have been so amazed at your generosity and the goodness of God. And so thank you so much for contributing to the work of Calendar Bay Church. And there's two simple ways that you can do that. One is by going to our webpage. Again, that's calendarbaychurch.ca, and you can give online. The other way is by mailing your gift, and that's very simple. Just box 218, 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Again, that address is box 218, 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. And again, thank you so much for your generosity in helping the church. We've been using some different ways to stay connected. It's great that we're starting to have more opportunities for connection. But if you're still wanting to stay home and want to be connected, two key ways that you can do that. One is through our Facebook group, which you can join, or you can get our email, which is the Daily Encouragement, which we send out 6 days a week, just to give you some encouragement and to help you along on your spiritual journey on a daily basis. Prayer requests. You can also use our prayer chain. All you have to do is send the prayer request to prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca, and then you'll have the those that are on the prayer chain pray for your prayer concerns. And thank you to Denise Boudreau, who so faithfully runs that ministry. We have lots of great online resources that are available to you. I'm trying to put some new resources up each week, and last week I put some helpful books that you can access in order to be able to kind of work along with the message the week before. And so each week I'm going to try to put up some different resources for you to be able to use. And so just another way of trying to help you on your spiritual journey. Well, we want to worship the Lord this morning, and so we're going to sing. This is such a wonderful hymn and a great message. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Continuing a series of messages which I've entitled Helping You Navigate Life, taking a look at some of the complex issues that we are going through in our society and trying to find biblical principles in order to be able to help us navigate these issues. The Bible doesn't speak directly to some issues that we're going through, but it always gives us principles that we can try to follow in order to be able to live life in a way that is pleasing to Him. And today, this one's a little bit different because some of these complexities that we go through can be quite discouraging, and it can have a major effect on us personally. And so today we want to talk a little bit about getting stuck. Now, I remember when I was a kid, They had been doing some construction on a church across the street. Actually, they were building a new Catholic church in my town. And it was right near us, and there was lots of construction. And construction that does a good job of creating a number of things. One of which is a fun place for kids to play around in. The other was mud, which goes along with the first. And so my buddies and my brother, we got playing around in the mud after a rainstorm. And we were having a really good time until the point when I went so deep in the mud that my rubber boots were starting to cave in from the pressure, and I couldn't pull my feet out. I got so stuck that I couldn't get out. And so we didn't know what to do. So they, my friends was sent home to get somebody to help. They sent a teenager to help, which was really not that good of a decision by my parents and my friend's parents, but that's what they did. And so we ended up getting a shovel and trying to pull us out. And eventually, my boot went so deep that the mud went over top, and my socks got all dirty, and really I was just overwhelmingly stuck. Now I guess I'm okay. I live to tell the tale, but I was pretty scared to go home because my socks were filthy and my boots were full of mud, and I was stuck. And sometimes in life, we can get ourselves stuck, and I find that spiritually, we also get ourselves very stuck. Now, I've heard that this sign is on a number of different highways. Now, this one wouldn't be on the Dempster Highway, which is in Canada, but I've heard that there is a sign on the Dempster saying, choose wisely what rut you're going to be in, because you're going to be in it for an extended period of time. And sometimes we can get ourselves stuck and in a rut. And so the question we want to ask ourselves today is in the process of navigating life, what do we do when we're stuck? When spiritually we are at a point where we're not moving anymore. So how do we navigate life when we get ourselves stuck? And the question we have to ask ourselves is well, why do we get stuck? What things cause us? And so this is not an exhaustive list. This was just my kind of pondering and wondering about the issue. And I came up with some, you know, different ways that I have found that I have got stuck, and I think that probably you can relate to them as well. And so here's my reasons why we get stuck. Number one, circumstances that we kind of get stuck in a moment. If you've ever gone through a difficult or a hard time, you create a personal crisis, and sometimes you get stuck in that moment, and it's hard to get yourself motivated and out of that. You know, sometimes it will be a death in the family, or it will be a marriage breakup, or a financial crisis, or some other family crisis that has health issues that have created a circumstance which has made it very overwhelming. And so you get stuck in that moment. There's a U2 song that talks about you got stuck in a moment and you can't get out of it. And so sometimes circumstances get us stuck. Sometimes it's busyness. We get stuck on a treadmill, the treadmill of activity, running here, running there, running here, running there. I was just having a conversation with somebody because I used to complain about how I was, when my kids were in high school, how all I did was run around to things and pick people up and bring them to work and do all these things. And I was just constantly on the treadmill of activity, and I didn't feel like I was accomplishing anything in life. And I was talking to this individual, and they're now at that point when all they seem to do is being running around from here to there to everywhere, and it doesn't necessarily just have to be teenagers driving them around. It could be different things. You know, you can end up getting caught up because you've got too many activities. You know, Monday night says Tuesday night. Now, during COVID, it's a little bit different. We've kind of slowed things down, but you know what I found, and maybe you can relate to this as well, is that during COVID, I was busy, but I was just busy in a different way. I had to kind of work within this new normal. And so circumstances changed, and it was just a new, it was like I stepped off of one treadmill and I went onto another treadmill, and it was just another busyness. And so sometimes that's why we get stuck, is because we're so caught up in all the things that we're doing that we don't do anything spiritually. Sometimes it's unfulfilled expectations, that you get stuck in disappointment. You know, many of us have expectations of how things are going to go in life. I seem to run into this kind of thinking a fair amount, is that it seems in North America we are convinced that if we step into a relationship with faith, that somehow it's going to be smooth sailing. And that we had some expectations that God was going to work in a certain way, and it was going to be, you know, all my activities will be blessed. And now all of a sudden we realize that life isn't going the way that you anticipated, and it's been rather disappointing. And so when we get stuck in disappointment, it can have a very negative, because we feel that, number one, we doubt the goodness of God, that God is good, and we doubt that God is working things out for good, and we doubt that he's got a plan for us. And so there's all sorts of things that happen when we start to get disappointed. Many of us has expectations, you know, that maybe our marriage was going to go one way, or our job was going to go one way, and so now all of a sudden things aren't going the way that we anticipated, and we're stuck in this disappointment. Sometimes we're caught in monotony, that we're just caught in the loop. You know, we're just doing things and we go through the motions, and every day looks like the other day. You know, that's the term that came out of COVID, was blur's day. That life just became a blur, one blur after another. And we just are, it's monotony. You know, I heard somebody talking about that, you know, with all the extra time that they had at home, they should have been able to accomplish more. But, you know, instead, we just got caught up in a new monotony. It's another Netflix show. It's another this, another that, another day. Doing the homeschooling thing. Monotony. And on it goes. And so sometimes when we get into the monotony of things, it can cause us to get stuck. Sometimes we get complacent. You know, we just get stuck where we are. That, you know, there are certain things that we know we probably should do, but, you know, I'd rather just do something else. Like, I'll work on the puzzle. I'll work on, you know, I'm going to play one more game on my phone. And we get complacent. And so we get kind of stuck where we are, you know, and we know that there are some positive changes that we need to make. But, you know, well, it's kind of just easier to keep going the way we are. And so instead of working towards what we think God is calling, we get kind of complacent and stuck where we are. And sometimes we get stuck in inconsistency, that there's becomes a kind of this dichotomy between our belief and our practice. And so, you know, we believe certain things about God and that he has some expectations on us and he wants us to live a certain way, but our practices are not lining up with that. And so we kind of give up because, well, I'm not really living the truth at all because I'm being inconsistent between my beliefs and my practices. And so I might as well, I don't do anything then. Just get kind of stuck in that moment of, you know, if I go to church, I'm just being hypocritical, so I just won't go. I won't go anymore. And so sometimes we can get stuck in inconsistency. And sometimes we get stuck because we ran out of gas. You know, that I'm so glad that I have never, ever physically ran out of gas, that, you know, that I didn't put enough gas. I've come close, so where it was chugging a little bit as I came up to the pump, but never ever yet, and I'm going to qualify that with yet, have I run out of gas. But sometimes in life we can get to that point where, you know, emotionally we were so spent that we just ran out of gas, or spiritually, that, you know, you were working and working and doing things, and then all of a sudden you just ran out of gas, or maybe it's physically that, you know, you were working so hard that you eventually just burnt out. And so sometimes we can get stuck because we've depleted all our resources, whether they be emotional, physical, or spiritual, and we realize the gas light's on and there's just nothing left. And so now we're stuck. And sometimes it can happen because of a loss of passion. This is a phrase that I think I coined. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. Maybe I got it from somewhere else. I talk about often when I'm journaling about being done, but you're not done. You know, that you're just feeling like you are absolutely done, but you look out and you realize that there's way more on the journey than what you expected. And so you're done, but you're really not done yet. And so sometimes your passion begins to fade. I've had this at different points in my life where, you know, you look at the end where you need to be, and you look at how much time is left, and you just don't know if you have the passion in order to be able to pull it off. And so when you're done, but you're really not done yet. And so somewhere your passion and your excitement about doing these things for God has been lost in all the different circumstances that are going on. And whatever the reason is, you're stuck. You are just absolutely stuck. And I think that this is a common thread that I'm seeing everywhere. And I think that this is kind of contributing to the message last week of talking about why people are leaving the church. And I think it's because people are just getting stuck and they just don't know where to go next. And so we want to talk a little bit about getting stuck and how to get out of it, because getting stuck is really easy. I remember when I was in high school, my brother and I were driving down a side road, and we were driving along, and it was the winter time, and what had happened is the plow had come before us, but when the plow had come by, it had plowed the road wider than what it really was, and so the banks were back, and so they had tried to push the banks, and so we were driving down the road, and the one tire went off the edge. And I remember, because I was in the passenger side, and it was the passenger side that went into the ditch first. And all I remember was we were on the road, and then I just saw the snow coming up over the windshield as my side was completely buried in the snowbank. And how fast and easy it was to get stuck. It was easy. Didn't have to work at it. It was really simple. But we were in that snowbank so deep that there was no way we were just going to simply back ourselves out of that. It was, we had to first, because this was in the days before cell phones, so we're in the car, we have to find, we're on a country side road, we have to walk a mile in order to be able to get to a house, and so finally we find somebody who's got a phone, and then we end up having to wait 45 minutes because it was so far away from anywhere to be able to get a tow truck to get us out of the ditch and get us back on the road. And so the getting stuck part was really simple. The getting unstuck was far more complicated. And that's what we find in life is that it is easier to get stuck than it is to get unstuck. And so I want to take a look at a passage of scripture, and it's important to know that, you know, we don't want to merely bash and make you feel guilty about it. But there is a challenge that goes along with it, because we need God's help, but we also need to change some things and do some things in order to be able to help in the process. And so let's take a look at a passage of scripture and see what it says. This is from 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And then it goes on and it says this: therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. And so Paul does something in order to be able to encourage people about how to not get stuck. And so he uses an athletic imagery. And so why does he use an athletic imagery? Well, one of the main reasons he uses athletic imagery, this letter was sent to Corinth, which had a very big games. It was called the Isthmian Games, and it was kind of like an Olympic type of games. And so game and athletic injuries imagery was something that was very familiar to the Corinthian people. And it's the same with us today. We all have a good understanding of athletics imagery, because athletics is all around us. And so that's the reason why he uses an athletic imagery. But this is one of his favorite images that he uses again and again in Scripture. Philippians 2:16, Galatians 2:2, Galatians 5:7, 2 Timothy 5:7, and 2 Timothy 2:5 are all images where the Apostle Paul uses an image of athletics. Hebrews does the same thing. They use an athletic image. You know, and I sometimes struggle with the athletic image, because why doesn't it just say, you know, if I'm stuck, that there's just a divine, you know, empowering. Boom, there, John got it. And yay, I'm unstuck. It's all divine zap. That's what I want. That's often how I pray. God, get me unstuck. I don't want to be stuck anymore. So would you give me the divine zap? And every once in a while, he does give me a divine zap. But most of the time, he doesn't, because he wants me to work it out. And sometimes I struggle with, why not just natural momentum? I started this thing, you know, it's kind of like rolling down a hill. Can't I just keep going? Why do I have to keep getting stuck? But Paul uses athletic imagery for a very specific reason, because faith is not a spectator sport. Most of us are armchair athletics. You know, we just kind of sit at home and we watch TV. I love watching sports on TV. I'm an armchair critic. And, you know, I find it funny that one of the things that my wife and I did over this COVID thing is because they talked about the COVID five. And the COVID five was that you gained 5 pounds because you were home and you're eating more and you weren't doing as much. Now, as we've got even further along, they're talking about the COVID 15. We skipped 10, just jumped right by it. We don't even need to talk about the COVID 10, COVID 15. So one of the things that my wife and I did was we thought, well, we'll get an exercise machine. And I did it for a few days, and then it was like, yeah, you know, I went on holidays, and I thought, I don't want to exercise on my holidays. And now my holidays were 3 weeks ago, and I still haven't got back on the exercise machine. And so, because exercise takes what? It takes discipline. And this is one of the reasons why Paul uses athletic imagery. Because it's easily relatable, and we understand the principles behind it. And so Paul gives three essentials to getting unstuck in this passage of Scripture. And I just want to briefly talk about those. Number one is aim. Paul says, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. You know, Paul is saying that when it comes to training, I have a purpose of why I'm doing this. I'm not doing this merely so that I will look good. I have an aim and I have a purpose behind what I'm doing. And so Paul says that there needs to be this intention. If we want to get unstuck, it's going to take some aim and intention on our part. It is not just going to happen by default. It will only happen when we line ourselves up with the Holy Spirit and move in that direction. And Paul says, you know, I don't just do this with no purpose and plan or any idea. I'm not aimless in what I'm doing. I've got intention of why I'm trying to accomplish this. And so Paul says that if you want to get unstuck, you have to start getting aim. And so aim yourself in the right direction. And so aiming sometimes takes also evaluation, you know, because there are many different parts. Now, this might be a little bit discouraging, but my life is many different facets, you know, because I have my, in spiritual terms, I have so many different aspects and facets to it. I have my prayer life, I have my Bible reading, I have my times of solitude, I have, you know, telling others about Christ. I also have, you know, my physical body, which I need to take care of. You know, there are all sorts of different parts. And so sometimes we have to evaluate and go, which is the parts, God, that you really want me to work on? Because God doesn't want us to be content to stay where we are. He wants to keep growing us and conforming us more to his image. He's never, ever content to leave us where we are. He is faithful to complete the work that he started. And he has started many good works in you. And you need to cooperate with him as he tries to change you and conform you to his image. And close to tied to this is it's going to take some action. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. And so it is going to take some action. It's going to take us, figuring out what our next steps are as far as the areas that God is working on. Maybe it's, some kind of attitude, or maybe it's, you know, what is the action steps that, athletes, when they're working out, they work on specific things in order to be able to achieve certain results. They know that, you know, one of the key things is you can't just eat whatever you want. You have to eat those things that are helpful. You know, for runners, they have to work on endurance. They have to work on certain muscles. You know, they do these things and they have action steps in order to be able to accomplish those things. And so they know, they take aim in what they're doing. This is what I'm trying to achieve. And then these are the action steps that I need to take in order to be able to do that. And we need to ask God prayerfully, where is it that you want me to take action in my spiritual life? What are the things that you need me to work on? Where am I really, really stuck? And how am I going to, how can you help me to get unstuck? What can I do to help in the process? So God wants us to get unstuck. And it's going to take some aim. It's going to take some action. And it takes focusing on the accolades. Paul says, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. The Apostle Paul uses this illustration at another point. You know, he says in Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have run the race, and now I get the prize. And so the Apostle Paul tells us that we need to have a long-term focus on what it is that we're really working towards. All the things in this life eventually will break, fade away, go, you know, get lost, leave it in your will. All those things that are going to eventually get lost. But Paul focuses on those things which are eternal. And so he focuses his attention on that. And he says, I want to focus on that prize. And so he wants himself to focus on the fact of, he wants to hear at the end of it all, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's his focus and his motivation. He's not interested in doing it for the sake of getting, you know, the praise of people. Way to go. Good job. No, he's not interested in that. He's interested in the ultimate accolades of God, the prize that Christ has waiting for him for living a faithful life. And so Paul says, if you're stuck, you need to take some aim, know what you're going for. You need to be active and disciplined in what you're doing, and you need to focus on the ultimate prize. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is God saying to you, well done, good and faithful servant. So to get unstuck, let's just kind of recap and maybe add a little bit more to that. To get unstuck, first, we need to have grace and strength for today. This is the really good part, is that if I'm getting unstuck, I need to be a part of the process. I need to do my part. But I understand that it is Christ, and through Christ, I can do all things. He gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so he is going to give me strength for today. The Word of God also tells me that God's mercies and his grace are new every morning, and so that I have grace. And so yesterday and my mistakes that I made are all gone. And now I have fresh and new grace for each day. So this is one of the wonderful promises of God. He says, if I'm stuck, God is waiting with strength for today and the empowering of his Holy Spirit. He wants to fan into flame the gifts that have been placed in you, and he's going to give you his grace to get through each day and all your relationships you have. And so if you want to get unstuck, the resources that God makes available to us on a daily basis are amazing. And so we can say to the fact that when we're stuck, you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so I can move forward in the strength of Christ working in and through me. And so I have grace and strength for today. Also, ask yourself the question, where does God want you to get unstuck? If you're taking aim, where is God asking you to take aim in your relationship with him? Is there some area in your spirituality where you are just so stuck? And God's saying, you need to take aim on that. Focus in on that area. That's the area that I want to work on. And so what I want you to do is I want you to pray, and I want you to ask me how we can take next steps together as we try to get you unstuck. And so what is it that God is focusing in on your life? Where are you stuck? God wants to get you unstuck. Probably more than you want to get unstuck, God wants you to get unstuck. So, take aim. And then ask yourself the question, what's your next step? Because Christ is never content to leave us where we are. And so we need to focus our attention on what our next steps are. You know, sometimes I look at my own spiritual life and I see that I plateau in certain areas, where I plateau, that's my stuck point. And so sometimes God challenges me. You know, maybe this is an area for you. Let me give you an example. I think that many of us have plateaued as far as prayer goes in our lives. That, you know, we pray at home, we'll pray for dinner, you know, but we're pretty content with a fairly shallow prayer life. And maybe God is calling you to a deeper aspects of prayer. Maybe he wants you to join public prayer. Maybe he wants you to deeply pray for certain issues. Don't be content to stay where you are. Don't be content in the plateau. What's your next step in getting unstuck in that area? And there's lots of other areas. Ask God to help you to get unstuck in that area. And ask Him specifically for help in that area of what it is that you want, He wants you to do to get unstuck. And lastly, keep your eyes on the prize. Don't get caught up in all the other things that are going on in this world. Those things are eventually just going to fade away. But what's going to last and what's going to endure are the eternal things. And the Apostle Paul says at the end of his life was able to say, I have fought the good fight, I have run the race, and now awaits me my crown. Let's keep our eyes focused on the prize. Let's keep our eyes focused on hearing God say to us when we get to eternal places, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we are, by your strength and your power, able to get unstuck. Father, for us, it seems to be very simple to get stuck, but it seems so hard and so difficult to get unstuck. But your desire is that we would be able to not stay in that place, but that we would be moving forward, ever moving forward in the power and the strength of Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that at home today, that you would challenge us to just begin to write down the things that you want us to do. That we would write down what next steps you are calling us to do to help us to get unstuck and help us to lean on you, not on our own understanding. And so that, Father, we can grow in grace and truth, and that we can be ever moving forward on our spiritual journey. And so, Father, we thank you for the promises of your word. And we pray, Father, that we would go forth in the mighty name of Jesus, and that we would be unstuck for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want to sing in conclusion, our God is greater. And that's the wonderful promise of God's word, is that our God is greater than all of our circumstances. Let's sing it together. Thank you so much for being a part of our online service. And it's great to know that our God is greater and that He's able to help us whatever we are going through. And so thanks for being a part of our online service. Again, our regular services have begun, and so you have the two options. You can continue to watch services online, or you can join us here at church, but you have to pre-register for that, and all you have to do is go to counterbaychurch.ca and you can find out about how you can pre-register for the service. And so I hope you have a great and incredible week. God bless you.